Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Dave LaMattina and Chad Walker, who wrote and directed I Am Big Bird. Hi, guys.
This is Dave. I typically talk first.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Chad.
All right. Well, I love this movie. I can't stop talking about it. I'm so excited for you guys. It's so moving, and I cried at least 14 times. I don't know if that's the norm or was too much.
That's a record. 14 is definitely a record.
I kept tearing up. I love Big Bird. You know, it's so many people's childhoods. So what was it like? My first question is just, how did you get this idea? Like, where, you know, how did this story come to you? Is this something that came from you guys, or did the story find you?
This story definitely found us. This is Dave, and we were, you know, Chad and I are very interested in family entertainment. It's sort of where we both started our careers. But prior to even meeting, I had an internship at Sesame Workshop in 2005, and I was just, you know, in home video at the time, nothing even related to the production of the show. But, like, several years later, I was at a New York Ranger hockey game talking with one of my friends about it. And I said, oh, yeah, and I worked at Sesame Workshop. It was awesome. And she said, oh, that's really cool. I'm family and friends with Carol Spinney. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Does she work on the show? I don't know who she is. And then she proceeded to explain that Carol Spinney was actually a man and was actually Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and had been since 1969. And I remember the one detail I remember from that conversation is her saying he really hated New York when he first lived here and he was going to quit. It was like living on Jim Henson's couch. And so I told Chad this story, and we thought, this has got to be a doc.
Yeah.
We thought there would be like tons of like red tape and everything. We were just coming off finishing our first documentary. But I think it was, what, Dave, like 2 weeks we had a meeting?
Yeah.
We're like, oh my God, we're going in to have a meeting with Big Bird. It's crazy. And, you know, on such short notice, though, but yeah, we went in, and Deb was there, and they were great, and you could just tell, like, how in love they were, and Deb at one point said, you know, I'm not a professional, but I've kind of filmed everything we've ever done, and, like, they were like, oh, my God, jackpot, are you kidding me? It's gonna be great. But we had no idea that it was, like, even, like, Carol's stuff that he shot, you know, like, back on, you know, 16mm or 8mm. We were just blown away. And on top of that, so now we're in a meeting, totally kind of unprepared, pitching our little hearts out to Carol and Deb. And in the middle of it, Carol pulls out Oscar. And so now we're, like, totally taken back. And he starts talking, you know, as Oscar, and we're totally thrown. And then he starts talking again, and somehow he and I start talking about, you know, Carol's allergic to gluten, and my wife's allergic to gluten, and we're talking about that, and all of a sudden, Oscar just goes, boring, like, right in the middle of our conversation. What just happened? And, of course, Carol just keeps talking, but Oscar's staring at me, you know, blinking, and, like, totally still alive. It was, like, the most surreal thing. But, yeah, when we walked out of that meeting, we had a really good feeling about it. We liked them, and they liked us, and, yeah, they'd love to work on a movie with us in pretty short order after that.
And what was it like to go through all that footage? When I heard her say she shot everything, I was like, oh my gosh, that must have been a ton of footage and just a lot of time to sort of, did they have a good catalog of what they had, or was it like just boxes of tapes, or what was that like?
Yeah, and they actually did have a pretty good backlog of what they had. Deb would give us sort of like the all-star boxes, right? So the first box she gave us had like the Muppets, making it a Muppets Family Christmas, and behind the scenes of Follow That Bird. But then we started to get into the deeper realms where it was less laid out what they'd have, and they would just give us like boxes of sort of loose film reels, and we would have a spinny film festival where we put a projector up and got some popcorn and just watch back to see what they have. But one of the reasons the film took so long to make was because we did go through about 500 hours of material, and our process is such that I would transcribe everything, and Chad would log in and digitize it into our computers. But it was a slog, because for every amazing bit of footage you found, there was probably 5 minutes of, you know, them just driving through New Zealand with the camera out the window.
Yeah, like you know how back, well, it was funny because when they would shoot on film, everything was really kind of nice and tight, you know what I mean? Because you don't, that's expensive to shoot on. But as soon as VHS came out, it was like,
forget about it.
You know, gloves are off. Yeah, and like, you know, as soon as the VHS, you could go to that, like, extended long play where you could record for, like, 5 hours on one tape. It literally would be, like, camera shooting out the windshield, just, like, sitting on the dashboard for, like, 4 hours. I mean, through New Zealand, which was beautiful, but after, like, you know, 20 minutes, you're like, okay, I've seen a lot of New Zealand now. But you would always go through it because you never knew when it was going to cut, and you'd have these, like, nice little magical moments of like Harold running down a hill and tripping and falling and, you know, Deb laughing and, you know, so yeah, we went through everything.
And how long, you said it took a long time, how long did it take you to do everything?
Probably about 5 years from the first thing we did to the movie hitting screens.
And so I have another sort of technical question just for filmmakers. What would happen if you hadn't transcribed, if you hadn't been so meticulous about transcribing everything, if you had sort of just said, okay, you know, if you just took loose notes, or why is that necessary? Because do you forget what's happening?
That's a good question. No, you know, it's just part of how our process has developed, because Chad and I share directing duties, and I mean, it really is like the best, closest partnership I've ever been a part of. And this is the third film we've done together. We just have a process where I tend to be more on the pre-production and production side, and Chad is production and post. And so the way we typically work is that we'll sit down, talk about what, you know, first we do an outline of the whole film, what we think it's going to be, what each scene is going to be, and then we take each scene and we beat each scene out and have a general idea what the scene is going to be. And then I go off and do a paper edit where we say, oh, we could have this line here, this line there. Chad takes that, uses some of it, throws some of it out, and then he shows me a cut. And so that way we just have a starting, you know, we start from the same place. And so the transcription allows that process to be part of it. Personally, I know that we could probably send out things to be transcribed, but for me it just sticks in my head better. So I'll say, oh no, I know there was a time, you know, when they were in Montana, and Big Bird is sitting backwards on the horse, and he looks down, and it's a funny comedic beat, so why don't we try that here? So that just, for me, is the only way I can remember the footage, so I'm not actively editing it. Chad's the editor.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm really connected with the footage, because I was cut the film and be going through it all the time. So, yeah, it was a really good way for Dave to be connected to it as well, and to know what we had. And the process honestly worked out great, because transcribing would take a really long time, but once you transcribe to Dave, you'd also kind of call out, like, selects, like, things that you thought were good. And that would allow us, on our end, when we're going through it, to kind of zip through the footage a little faster. And we'd pull extra stuff, you know, that maybe we thought was good, too. But, yeah, it kind of gave us these, like, landmarks.
Like a searchable database of what we have.
Right. Because mm-hmm. In your transcription, you'd include things like time code and stuff like that, so... and it really helped also if, like, something got missed, we could go through those transcriptions and go back through the tapes and grab stuff.
That's awesome. And it really, I mean, it's just helpful for anyone out there wanting to do something like this, because, again, when I heard there was so much footage, I thought, how did they handle that? So it's really great. It sounds like your process, it allows you to get the best moments. Speaking of moments.
Yeah, it's evolved over the years, for sure.
Well, yeah, and
you know, storage is really cheap now, but you couldn't digitize in 500 hours worth of stuff, even, you know, if you did it offline first. So yeah, to be able to break out selects and then be able to log those and put in, you know, very thorough log notes for each clip, so you can easily search inside, you know, whether you're doing an Avid or Final Cut, you can easily search for, like, Carol and Deb, or, you know, if they're hugging, like, keywords, hugging. So even to take it a step further, make sure that the notes you have are really consistent in your software. You can easily search and find things. That was also super important for us to do, and have, like, almost, like, key phrases, you know, like, if, you know, whenever Carol and Deb were together, and if they're hugging or giving each other a kiss or holding hands, you know, we would just put love as, like, you know, a key phrase.
Yeah, and then you could reference.
And all your clips would come up, and then, yeah.
I noticed there was talk of, you definitely talked of Elmo and how that affected him. Did you come across any Kevin Clash? I noticed he wasn't mentioned. And I was just curious if you came across, because he's been in the news so much with Sesame Street, if that was something that you specifically left out. Although, you know, I know it's not the focus of the film, but there seemed to be this feeling that Elmo kind of took Big Bird's thunder away when the show changed to be more of a younger audience. Just curious if you had tried to stay away from that.
I think Elmo as a character. No, sure. I think Elmo as a character, you know, as they say in the film, just appealed to a younger audience. And so everything we address in the film and deal with in the film, we just deal with in relation to either Carol or his characters. And so as it relates to Carol and his characters, really the only important point was that Elmo came on and became the rock star. And so, you know, there's so much in this film that we had to leave out because of just sheerly, you know, covering a 40-year career that when it comes to the characters on the street, it's just all about how they relate to Big Bird. So, I mean, the decision was to, you know, just for the sake of time, keep everything focused on Big Bird and Oscar.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, when we started making the movie, I knew Big Bird wasn't on Sesame Street as much as he used to be, like when I watched. But, you know, I didn't have kids yet, so I wasn't really actively watching Sesame Street. And so that kind of revelation was really big for me, the fact that the show went younger. And, it, you know, it wasn't just Elmo, although he may have kind of lit the fire a little bit. Because even today, the show is much younger than Big Bird. Big Bird 6, and you have all these other rock star characters like Abby and stuff. So that was really kind of interesting to learn as we were making the film, to hear that, oh, you know, yeah, it's just this is an experiment. Sesame Street's an experiment, you know, and it's always changing, and now what we're experimenting with is going a bit younger. But what I really liked was, you know, when they really have a difficult subject, they still bring in Big Bird to deal with it, you know. Good Bird's Club, being bullied, that kind of stuff, that's the example we use in the film.
Where do you...
Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it does. I was surprised too. I really didn't notice that. And I have two kids, actually. One of them's two and the other one's five.
I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh, great. They could play. My 2-year-old loves trash and trash cans. So he loves Oscar, actually. And there's no Oscar. I can't really find an Oscar toy of any kind. It's not as available as much as you see the Elmo stuff. So it's interesting how they focus on one character, but maybe Oscar will come back. Either that or I have the only kid that likes trash cans in the country. So yeah, just moving forward, Carol doesn't want to retire. What do you guys see next for Big Bird after just getting to know him so much? Like, do you think that he'll become more incorporated after this movie, you know, in the role? Like, I started noticing, actually, I went to the doctor's yesterday and they had some old toys and there was a Big Bird toy there. And I thought, Big Bird's everywhere now. I watched this documentary. I see this toy. Maybe he'll have a comeback. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think he ever really left. That's the thing. You know, he might not be on the show as much. I mean, I certainly am not naive to think that our film was going to affect how much Big Bird's on the show. But I think that once we started into this universe, the Sesame Street universe, and once you're aware of, like, actually looking for Big Bird, it's like, it's crazy. He really is everywhere. And, you know, I don't think that's gone away. I think every kid has an awareness of who Big Bird is. Like we said, you know, like, there might not be as many, kids might not want the Big Bird toy as much as they want the Elmo toy, or the Oscar toy, in your son's case. But the fact is, you know, I don't think he's ever gone away. I don't think he needs to have a comeback. I think like one of the characters one of the subjects in the film says, they're using Big Bird in an awesome way now. And so I think that will continue. The writers of Sesame Street are great. And that was one of those revelations that we had, is that the people that are sort of now in charge, the writers and directors, and the next generation of Muppet performers, are all all seem to be the proper heirs to the throne. They all really get it, and I think some of that Big Bird resurgence and a fondness for Big Bird, like they just redesigned his nest and it's beautiful and gorgeous. Some of that resurgence is probably due to the fact that these are all people that now grew up with Big Bird and have that fondness for him that we all have. So, yeah, I don't think you ever run away. I think if you start looking for Big Bird, you'll see him. Yeah, it's hard for us to go a day without seeing Big Bird.
What's next for you guys? What are you working on now?
Well, at the moment, our office is full of Kickstarter rewards that we have to ship out, so that is taking up all of our time for this film. But we are doing some development on a couple of docs that we're really fascinated by that are not at all similar to I Am Big Bird or We Must Go, which is our film about the Egyptian soccer team. And we're actually looking up to do, like, to put together some docu-series, you know, smart reality content that we could sort of carry out our documentary vision in the television world. Because it's a little bit more immediate and it's a little bit, not quite as long as a 5-year documentary process.
Right. And you can get, we've also found that slightly longer form, you can really get in even deeper with your characters, which is really intriguing to us. But, yeah, you know, when we were making I Am Big Bird, we actually were simultaneously making that other film that Dave mentioned, We Must Go, We Must Go is about the Egyptian national team trying to qualify for the World Cup during the revolution there with their American coach, Bob Radley. So we would quite literally go from revolution in Egypt to the set of Sesame Street, which is really, really surreal. So it's been really crazy for us because that movie actually already came out and is available on iTunes and everything. And now with this one coming out, and like Dave said, Kickstarter rewards and everything, we've definitely been actively developing a lot of stuff. Yeah, we're really excited for the Kickstarter rewards to get out, Big Bird to, you know, everyone to see Big Bird and hopefully love it. And then just kind of keep rolling after we take a little bit of a breath.
Well, I'd love to talk to you guys again. Thank you so much. And I love the film. And congratulations. It really turned out so great.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate
Take care, guys. Hope to talk to you again.
All right, have a great weekend.
Okay,
bye.
You too.
Bye.